And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade.
But first, ladies, we're happy to bring you the grand prize winner in Crisco's first double cash contest. Yes, it's Mrs. Henry W. Bowers of Hales Corners, Wisconsin. Mrs. Bowers is in Chicago right now waiting to speak to us. So go ahead, Chicago.
Okay, New York. And ladies, here is Mrs. Henry Bowers, the happy winner of the grand cash prize.
I just wish I could tell you how happy and excited I am. I still can't believe I won $5,000 cash.
Well, now look here. Tell us, what are you going to do with all that extra money?
Really, I'm still too much in a daze to know. There are so many things any woman could do with $5,000.
Isn't that right? And did you really think that you might win when you entered Crisco's first contest?
Well, I hoped so. I send in 5 entries, and I've already sent in 2 for Crisco's second contest.
Oh, that's the spirit. And aren't you mighty glad that you took advantage of the doubling feature in Crisco's contest?
Oh, yes. It doubled my $2,500 prize to $5,000.
Tell me, did you use the official contest blanks?
No, I asked my grocer for them, but so many of the ladies had gotten there before me, he was all out. So I got him to sign his name and address on my entries to be sure I'd double any prize I won.
And have you ever won a big prize before?
No, this is the first time, and I'm surprised how easy it was. And I hope every woman listening today will surely enter Crisco's final contest. Everybody has the same opportunity to win as I did.
Well, thank you for being with us, Mrs. Bowers, and our heartiest congratulations to you. And now, New York, take it away.
Okay, Chicago, and congratulations again, Mrs. Henry Bowers. And now, ladies, remember, Crisco's final double cash contest closes this Saturday. Besides that top prize of $2,500, there's 25 other prizes of $100 and 100 prizes of $10. 126 prizes. And you can double any prize you win by submitting your entries on official blanks that carry the complete rules and are available only at your Crisco dealers. Or write your entries on plain pieces of paper and get your dealer to sign his name and address on each entry. Now, to enter, write the 5th line to a jingle that's on those official blanks. Here's the first 4 lines. For cakes, pies, and frying each day, most any wise housewife will say, for cakes, pies, and frying each day, most any wise housewife will say, use Crisco, it's sure, so creamy and pure. Use Crisco, it's sure, so creamy and pure. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, you add last line, maybe like this, and your meals get a hearty okay. Just be sure your last line ends in a word rhyming with day. With each last line, make your name, address, and a Crisco label, any size or facsimile. Address Vic and Sade, Cincinnati, Ohio. This contest is open to residents of the United States and Canada. Entries will be judged solely on originality, suitability, and aptness. Decision of the judges is final, and duplicate prizes will be awarded in case of ties. So get your entries in today. Win and double your winnings in Crisco's Double Cash Contest.
Sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now, and here in the living room we find Mr. Victor Gook and Mr. Rush Gook. Father and son are seated on opposite sides of the library table, competing in a somewhat sluggish game of rummy. Listen.
Highest cards run in streaks. By George, last time we played, I got dealt spread after spread after spread. This afternoon my pasteboards are rotten as a horse. How the heck can an individual win a game when luck is against him? What's the matter?
Nothing. I thought I heard a noise in the kitchen.
What'd you lunge for?
It wasn't where I lunged.
Almost jumped out of your chair.
Why don't you discard?
There you are. 8 of diamonds. You know, rummy tickets run in streaks. I haven't been dealt a decent hand since we sat down. Rooster Davis's big brother Rotten's got a theory on that topic. Rooster Davis's big brother Rotten's figured it out. Hey, what are you so nervous about?
Is that your mother?
Did you hear
are you okay, Joe?
Yes?
It's your mother.
I know it.
She's home now.
Hey, what's eating you, guys?
I say.
Hi.
We're playing rummy.
Are you?
Yeah, me and Rush are playing rummy.
Rush has to go to the grocery store.
Rush has to go to the grocery store.
For God's sake, Gov, you talk
jump
like
up
you're
and help your mother with her packages. Got packages, huh, kiddo?
Wash rags. Bought 3 dozen of them. Yams and cut the price right down to the bone.
Never mind, Willie. I'll take them upstairs with me when I go.
We've been playing rummy.
Have you?
Yeah.
Warm as toast downtown. Just like summer. Ruthie and I saw fellas running around in just the shirt sleeves. What's the matter?
Why?
You're grinning so foolish.
He's been acting peculiar ever since you've been home.
Oh, say, did Miss Apparat telephone?
Not since I've been home.
Who was home first?
Gov.
She telephoned?
Oh, Miss Apparat?
Yeah.
Did you explain I was downtown shopping?
No.
No, what? She didn't telephone?
Yes.
Oh, Lance.
Well, she didn't telephone.
Well, what'd you say yes for, then?
Yes?
Yes, I asked if she telephoned. You said yes.
No.
No?
Yes.
Hey, what ails you?
I got something very, very funny to tell you.
What is it?
I got the best of Mr. Bullard.
Is he in town?
Not now. Went back to Chicago on the 255.
By George, maybe he'll make the acquaintance of Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap. He went to Chicago on the 255 today.
How'd you get the best of him?
We made a bet and I won.
Peck, what you been up to?
Huh?
I never seen a person act so guilty in my life.
What do you mean, guilty?
Your father knock over my cut glass fig and apple platter?
Not that I know of.
Well, what have you done?
What's the idea of all this cross-questioning? I made a bet with Baylor, Buller, and won. He struck me funny.
Struck you awful funny.
But it did.
You have to go to the store, Willie.
Okay.
Did strike me awful funny.
I want potatoes. Can you carry a peck?
Sure.
Say, did strike me awful funny.
When you feel like telling whatever it is you got up your sleeve, go right ahead.
I got nothing up my sleeve. All there is to it, Buller and I made this little wager, and he come through with a $5 hat. Struck me funny.
Hat?
Yeah, I bought me a hat to pay off the bet.
You bring it home with you?
Of course.
Where is it?
Hallway on the banister.
Go get it, Rush.
Oh.
I don't often get the best of Buller. He's an awful cagey old warthog. So it tickled me pink this afternoon when he come off the dirty end of the stick.
It's a broad-brimmed hat, ain't it?
Why, let's see. Yes. Yes, I believe it is a broad-brimmed hat.
Bought at Kleeberger's?
I think Buller did patronize Kleeberger's.
Uh-huh.
What's the matter?
Why?
You're looking at me like I just stole a horse.
Hey, Mom, this is the kind of a hat you told Gov he couldn't wear. Got a big broad brim.
Yeah, I'd laugh at the same on his face, kiddo. See, he hates to lose.
Let's see that one.
Certainly nice and new.
Genuine $5 gift. Notice the warp on it.
Warp?
Woof.
Woof?
Well, warp or woof or nap or lap or finish or whatever you want to call it. I mean the surface. See what a nice sheen it's got?
Sheen?
You don't seem to be very sharp in the wits today, Toadstool. A real quality hat, wouldn't you say?
Vic, you don't think I'm a complete idiot, do you?
Huh?
You certainly couldn't have thought I'd be taken in by this.
Taken in by what?
Such a simple little business I never come across.
I haven't the slightest notion.
Little Charlie Husher, 3 years old, could see through it.
Well, whatever you're talking about is too much for me.
I have the scheme to bring home a broad-brimmed hat, thinking if you said you won it on a bet, Mom would let you keep it.
Is that what you think, Sage?
You appreciate what I think.
Is that really what you think?
Little Charlie Husher could see through it.
Well, that's the funniest thing I ever heard of in my life. Absolutely the funniest thing I ever heard of in my life.
It goes back.
Goes back?
Goes back. And after this, when you try to deceive a person, you'd better think up a smarter stunt. Me and Buller made a bet, and he had to buy me a broad-brimmed hat. Why didn't you say you found your broad-brimmed hat hanging on a tree? Or you saved a lady from drowning, and she give you a broad-brimmed hat to show her gratitude?
Sadie, you're making a pretty serious charge.
I'll say. Now listen, please get it in your head once and for all, you can't wear a broad-brimmed hat. Makes you look like a wild western cowboy that'd been stepped on by an elephant. Fred Stembottom told you that.
Since when did any of Fred Stembottom's half-witted opinions mean a snap of my little finger? Fred Stembottom...
Everybody's told you you can't wear a hat with a wide brim.
Everybody? I believe there's a few stray souls in Detroit, Michigan, who as yet haven't informed me that I can't wear a broad
brim. I told you, Fred told you, Ruthie told you, Ike Kneesupper told you, even the clerk in Kleeberger's told you.
Since I'm the party who will wear the hat, it's hardly the concern of Fred and Ruthie and Ike and the rest of them yaks.
You're back, the flea burgers.
No.
Yes.
Look, this hat amounts to practically a gift for Mr. Buller. You can't return a gift to the store and collect the money.
What'd you and Mr. Buller bet about?
Bet about?
Yes.
Bet about.
Why do you have to buy you a hat?
Because he lost.
Lost what?
Lost the bet.
Well, what'd you bet about?
Bet about?
Oh, my.
What my means, guys.
Bet he could tie his shoe faster.
Tie his shoe faster?
Faster than me.
Now, Vic, really.
He bet he could tie his shoe faster than I could, so we bet a hat, and I tied my shoe faster, and he tied his shoe, and me.
Where'd all this excitement take place?
In my office.
You were sitting in your office talking business?
Why?
Why? I'm asking you a question. You were sitting in your office talking business when this happened?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You were sitting in your office talking business, and all of a sudden, out of a clear sky, Mr. Buller said he bet he could tie his shoe faster than you could tie yours?
Yes.
You actually expect me to believe that?
Well, doggone it, Sage.
Come on, Willie. We'll go out in the kitchen and make out a list of what I want from the store.
Doggone it, Sage.
Do we have to keep on with this?
I demand...
The thing about it that bothers me is you think I'm so simple. Little three-year-old Charlie Husher wouldn't have been fooled. Why, I knew you had something up your sleeve when I walked in the room. You acted guilty as the bullet that choked Billy Patterson. And then that talky-talk about two important businessmen sitting in their office discussing enormous big affairs and one of them all of a sudden jumping up and hollering he bet he could tie his shoe real fast.
Did I say somebody jumped up and hollered?
Come on, Willie.
Did I say somebody jumped up and hollered?
Want to come out in the kitchen with us and talk about what it tastes good for supper?
No.
You want to stay in here?
No.
What do you want to do?
No.
I say, what do you want to do?
I said no. I said no, and I meant no.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time.
And now, five more winners in Crisco's first contest. $100 winners. Mrs. Carl Heiser, Washington, D.C. Mrs. L.W. Williams, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Mrs. C.E. Freelove, Binghamton, New York. $200 winners. Mrs. Marjorie Clary, Delhi, California. Mrs. Betty H. Harvey, Dover, New Hampshire. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Mel Allen speaking.